My dog says hello.
Hello, Charlie.
How does everybody know his name? I don't think I've told anybody his name.
You've told me his name like 6 times.
Oh.
You must have a very bad memory.
I do. My memory is very bad.
Okay, let's see. Today's episode is about roads.
Yes. Do you like roads, John?
Yes.
I like roads. But sometimes I wish there weren't any roads.
Why?
Because then I could go as fast as I wanted and nobody could stop me.
True.
Hang on, I'm eating a bagel.
We should just have like a podcast where we just stuff our face and try to talk.
It's a good idea.
Am I right?
I didn't really think about how I was going to record an episode with a bagel in my mouth.
You just do, to be honest.
Good idea.
I'm eating beef jerky, to be honest.
Beef jerky is the best food.
Alright. This is local beef jerky, too. It's made in Paris, Kentucky.
I was just about to say, John, Paris isn't that local. But I guess Kentucky is. According to Google, a road is a wide way leading from one place to another, especially one with a specifically prepared surface in which vehicles can use. Welcome to Rob's Random Stuff, the podcast that varies so wildly that no algorithm would dare pick us up. Today I'm joined by a friend of mine named John.
Hello, I'm John.
He's not particularly significant in the realm of roads, but he does drive a bus. Tell me a little about your bus, John.
Yeah, so I actually have a 2004 International 3800 school bus that I am converting to an RV so I can take it across the country and road trip.
John, how do you drive a bus?
It's actually not as hard as you would think. Honestly, when I first started driving it, it was a little bit intimidating at first, but once you get used to it, it's not too bad. I think the biggest thing that a lot of people get caught up on is, first of all, you have to use the mirrors a lot. So when you're taking a turn, you have to account for the tail swing of the bus since it's so long. So for example, my bus is 40 feet long. So when you go to take a right or a left turn, it's very easy to accidentally run over a curb. So you got to use the mirrors and account for the tail swing of your very long bus.
I see. John, how heavy is your bus?
It weighs 15,700 pounds empty. And once the conversion is done, it should weigh about 22,000 to 23,000.
It's only like 3 times as small as your mom, John.
Yeah, it's about the weight of your mom.
Oh, okay, John. Did you ever notice while driving your bus that there was more than one type of road?
Yeah, there's a lot. We have a lot of gravel and dirt roads where I live.
Oh. Is it hard driving a bus on a dirt road?
No. Honestly, I love dirt roads. You can just floor it. The only bad thing is there's a lot of dust that gets thrown up, so you gotta watch out for that because it like covers up the windshield and stuff. It's kind of annoying.
True. Did you know that there's literally hundreds of types of roads?
Like, tell me all about the different types of roads.
Well, the number I saw on Wikipedia was like 234.
Wow, so, that's a lot.
So I just picked like 8 types of roads, so that we weren't here all day. Did you know that alleys aren't actually like roads?
Really?
Yeah.
I've always kind of considered an alley a road, to be honest.
Some alleys are meant for vehicles, but a lot of them are meant for people. Like,
I guess that kind of makes sense.
Like, most alleys have stairs in them. Which I thought was weird, because whenever I saw an alley, there was usually a car in it. So alleys are just, you know, tiny itty-bitty roads behind and in between buildings for access back there if you have a garage or something, or if you just feel like walking around. Now, you mentioned dirt roads. You often find these in rural areas, and a lot of time, you can't pass through them unless you have a truck or an SUV or something with four-wheel drive or something that's heavy, because quite often it ends up raining and it turns into a mud road. Same with gravel roads. John, your sound's gone. Oh, John, your mic is back.
Can you hear me now?
Oh yeah, there you go.
I was talking like so much and you just like kept interrupting me and I was like, what is going on?
I just thought you like died or something.
Yeah, I'd been talking for so long and you didn't never responded and said something completely random every time and I was like,
oh.
we were talking about the speed limit on dirt roads.
Oh yeah. The maximum in the United States is like 55, but I never go 55 down a dirt road.
Is that like actually in like some kind of legislature or something that says the maximum speed limit on a dirt road is 55?
I think so. Wikipedia said unless otherwise posted, it's 55.
That's weird. I never knew that because I know the state highway speed limit, at least in Kentucky, is default 55 unless otherwise posted. But I didn't know that for gravel or dirt roads.
I never would have thought it would have been so fast, but I mean, I guess if you know what you're doing.
I can't really imagine going that fast on a dirt or gravel road. I feel like that would be kind of dangerous, to be honest.
It really would, especially since dirt roads have a gigantic ditch next to them. Like, if you fall in there, you're done.
Yeah, and when it's muddy or rainy, it just turns to slush.
Yeah. Dirt roads these days, what are you gonna do?
I just need to get my horse and carriage out like the old days.
Exactly. You know, 6.5 miles an hour is the way to go.
Exactly.
Now, everything used to be made out of dirt until they invented asphalt. And then they became asphalt roads, and then people built cities around them. And then called these metropolitan roads. Like roads you would find in a downtown area. This is basically any road that the city declares significant for whatever reason. It could be like roads around a skyscraper that needs extra maintenance or something on a bus route. And the typical speed limit there is 35 to 40, but 25 is not uncommon.
And I as got a you, fun fact for you.
A fun fact.
Yeah, we love fun facts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that, and I don't know the like exact specifics behind this, but any zone that is declared as a residential zone, the speed limit is no more than 25 miles per hour.
That is interesting.
I know, right?
Everybody definitely stays under 25 on a residential road, right?
Yeah, residential areas I just like to zoom through because they're usually like pretty flat, straight areas that are just slow because of all the houses and stuff.
Yeah, honestly, 65 is the way to go on a residential road.
Yeah, that's me every day, to be honest.
Well, you just covered my residential roads, John. That's all I had written down for that.
Oh, so you already knew my fun fact.
Yeah, I did.
Now I'm disappointed.
Ha! Huh. Besides these and, you know, bigger roads like interstates and expressway, it turns out every other road is considered a state highway by the law. So pretty much any road that's not residential or metropolitan that has you going under 60 miles an hour is a state highway. And these really? Are usually assigned like a route number and a name. Like the one by my house is named Route 34, but it's also got a street sign that says Ogden Avenue on there.
You just tell the whole world where you live.
John, do you know Ogden Avenue is literally 1,500 miles long?
Wait, really?
Yeah. It goes all the way from Lakeshore Drive in Chicago to, like, Denver, Colorado.
That is weird. I did not know that.
Which brings me to a fun fact. Route 34 is technically a U.S. highway instead of a state highway. So oftentimes, if a route or a highway goes in between states, it's labeled as U.S. highway, even though they're managed by the state that owns the bit of road.
So what about, like, Main Street? What would that be considered? Because it's not residential, but I don't think it's a state highway either.
No, I think that would be either metropolitan or it might be residential, depending on the size of the town.
Sounds pretty interesting.
Indeed. It might also fall under the category of, like, a rural road in a really small town.
Yeah.
But I'm not really sure. Those roads are just like roads. Those are because often like not even managed by the state. It's just the city that does them.
Most of the downtown roads in my town are like 25 or 35. miles per hour for the speed limit, so I don't think it's a state highway, because usually I think they're, like, 55 unless it's, like, very curvy.
Yeah. I'm in a lot of suburbs, so all the bigger roads around my house are 45 until you get out to the corn, and then it's 55. Kind of slow. Yeah, 45, but I mean, there's a ton of cars on there, so, like, you're not even ever going 45. It's always, like, 30 or 35.
Yeah, that's why traffic sucks. That's why I kind of like living in a smaller town.
Yeah. Big towns aren't fun. Unless it's night and nobody's there, then you can just, like, zoom.
See, my town only has, like, 35 or 36,000 people in it, so, I mean, it's not tiny, but it's not, like, what I would consider, like, a big town either. So it's kind of like a good in-between, you know?
Yeah. Much better than the, like, 5 million that Chicago has.
Yeah.
I know it's 3 million, but 5 million sounds better.
5 million sounds much more significant, I agree.
Now, John, if you want to go a little faster than a stupid highway, you can find yourself an interstate, which are pretty much the same thing as a highway, but it goes in between states. And there's only really two differences, is that the interstate speed limits range from 60 to 85, depending on the state you're in, as opposed to anything under 60 miles an hour. Which, in Wyoming, interstate speeds are actually 85, which is crazy.
And I think in Texas, they're like 75 or 85 too.
Yeah. All the interstates around here are 60 to 65 until you get out in the boonies.
Oh, really?
And then it's like 70.
Ours in Kentucky are 70.
Really?
Yeah.
Dang. Well, I mean, also, the closer you get to Chicago, the slower you go anyways.
But traffic down there is so bad, so... It is. I mean, you can't really go the speed limit anyways, usually.
Nope.
I had to drive through Chicago. I told you about the combine that we got once.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I wasn't driving because this was, like, 7 or 8 years ago. But it was, like, when we went through, like, the... I don't remember what the highway was called, but, like, the downtown area... The drivers were so crazy. They just like wanted to kill everybody. It was kind of scary, to be honest.
They're insane over there. It's like a war zone.
Yeah.
I mean, rush hour down here is pretty much anywhere between 6 a.m. and 8 p.m. So it's like the whole day is rush hour. So you've really there's no convenient time to drive unless it's midnight.
I'd say sometimes they're worse than others, though.
True. Like, usually on the weekends, it's a little lighter.
Yeah. Not as many people trying to go to and from work, I guess.
Yeah. It's especially bad when they close down, like, even a part of one lane. You're not going to get through.
Yeah, like, construction, or... We have a lot of... So, the highway that's closest to my house, which is I-75, the segment that runs probably, I don't know, between 20 and 40 miles each direction from my house... is like completely being repaved right now. Have like literally one lane open, and it is so crazy throughout the day because usually it has 4 lanes, so when they take it down to 1, everybody just gets so clogged up. It's so annoying.
Not good.
No, not at all. It really impedes the safe traffic flow of the interstate.
I mean, I guess you have to repave them at some point though, right?
Yeah, it's better than having a bunch of chug holes, I guess.
Yeah. Now, interstates actually have quite a bit of history to them. Along with being federally funded, they began as just regular federally funded roads back in the late 1910s. I think it was like 1918, 1919, that they started trying to create a grid system, but it didn't really work until President Eisenhower came along, creating really what we know as an interstate back when he was president in 1953. But even though these are federally funded, the interstates are owned and operated by the states that they're in. I mean, obviously they're broken up into sections. Like, any one interstate isn't fully operated by a single state. Like I know I-88 by me, its Illinois section is run by Illinois, and its Iowan section is run by Iowa. And the interstate system actually runs a grand total of just under 50,000 miles between all the roads.
Wow,
is
that is
cool.
A lot.
Yeah.
I remember my grandfather has told me the same story like 50 times, but that's beside the point. When he was growing up, they were actually building the interstates. And when they were, like, coming through, yeah, when they were coming through, like, our area, before they were, like, opened or anything, he and his friends used to go and, like, walk down the empty interstates and just, like, go on walks and see how far they could go.
Really?
Yeah.
Just walk down the interstate.
Yeah, but, I mean, obviously it was, like, closed because it was, like, still being built, but, like, the area for it, you know?
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Interstates could honestly get a whole episode just by themselves.
That's true.
But somebody already did that. Stuff You Should Know has a great episode. I think it's like an hour long. It's called How the U.S. Interstate System Works.
Interstates are pretty interesting, to be honest.
Yeah. You can find that one wherever you get your podcasts, or just like look it up on Google. How the U.S. Interstate System Works.
I got a fun fact for you about interstates.
Oh?
Okay, so if you've ever noticed while driving on an interstate, and a lot of people don't notice this, but maybe you have if you're a little observant, it has to be at least a mile long of a straight stretch. Do you know why that is?
Really? I don't. Why?
Because during World War II, I think, if my dates are correct, I think that was the correct war, they had to build them at least a mile long. Like a straight stretch at least a mile long, so planes could actually take off and land on them if they needed to.
Really?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Well, now you know if you're driving on in a plane, you could probably land on an interstate pretty safely.
Oh yeah, they have like general aviation planes, so like small planes. When they have like emergency landings, so they like land on highways all the time because of, well, I mean. Obviously, there's not a lot of great areas to land that are straight if you're going down in a plane, you know?
That is cool. You might also find while you're going down an interstate a toll. I don't think anybody likes tolls. Do you like tolls, John?
I hate tolls.
Tolls are the worst, except they do a lot of good for those roads. They're really on any road that the state can put them on. They're on expressways, interstates, and sometimes smaller roads. But they turn a gigantic amount of money towards operating and maintaining those roads that they're on.
Yeah, we don't really have any tolls in...
Really?
Well, I don't even think we really have any in Kentucky.
Oh my gosh. I know
we don't have any, like, anywhere close to me. We might have some in Louisville, but I'm not positive on that. I've never seen any personally.
I know there's a toll on I-88 by my house. But
you
I mean,
have,
it's
like one of those Palmetto passes or whatever they call them, where you like can go through the toll an unlimited amount of times without having to pay the fee every time. Like you pay like a yearly pass or whatever.
Yeah, we have iPass here.
Ooh, interesting.
Which I mean, the one on 88 you can only use on the iPass. Like, you can't like pay the dude cash anymore. So that's it's either iPass or you go pay online with your license plate.
Dumb, to be honest.
Yeah.
I bought a, well, not me, but my family bought a, like, an old used car from somebody once, and we went on a road trip, and, you know, you have, like, 40 days to register the vehicle before you get, like, fined, like, transfer it to your name, and pay tax and stuff. Well, we had just bought it, and we took it on the road trip, and so we didn't obviously have it under our name yet, because it was over the weekend, and we went through 16 tolls, I think, 16 or 17. And it billed them all to the old owner and sent him a letter in the mail because the license plate was still under his name.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I was kind of crying.
That's funny, though. Oh, my gosh. That's so sad. I just imagine getting, like, a $600 toll bill for a car I just sold.
Yeah, I don't think he was very happy, but, I mean, obviously we mailed him a check.
That's good. That's good.
But I think he was a little scared at first, not really.
Yeah. There are expressways that exist too, and they're pretty much just an interstate but funded by the state instead. It's just, you know, a highway but for high speed traffic, anywhere between 60 and 80 miles an hour.
Now, what's the difference in a freeway and an expressway? Do you know?
I have no idea. I think they're the same thing.
Because we have a Gene Snyder freeway close to where I live in Louisville, Kentucky, that is like the worst road ever, but it's considered a freeway and it sucks so much.
Oh, expressways are divided highways with partial control of access, while freeways have full control. So I guess a freeway just divides traffic with a yellow line, and an expressway has a median.
Interesting.
So I guess the only time where that would matter is if, like, there's an ambulance going down the road, then everybody has to pull over on a freeway, but yeah. Not on an expressway.
You know, like, in bigger cities, when you're on, like, a, I guess an interstate or whatever takes you through, like, the big downtown area?
Yep.
A lot of times they have, like, carpool lanes, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, they have a lot of those in Chicago.
Yeah, well, when we go on vacation to South Carolina, I think it's I-90 or 95, they have, like, a ton of carpool lanes that, like, run the hallway. And I can never really figure out, like, the point or use of them, because I guess it's supposed to, like, reward people. Like, you can drive in the fast lane if you're carpooling to, like, save the environment or whatever. But I found the whole idea kind of confusing.
Yeah, because, I mean, who's going to stop you from going in the carpool lane if you only have one person in the car?
Yeah, I mean, like, do they have, like, cops that just, like, sit on the sides of the road and see how many people are in the car or what?
I have no idea.
Kind of odd.
290, I think, going into Chicago actually goes inside of a building. I think it's 290, or maybe it's 295. But yeah, you go into Chicago, right before it ends at Lakeshore Drive, it goes, like, inside of a building.
What kind of building does it go inside of?
I don't know. I think it's an office building, but, like you go in there and it just looks like a normal tunnel, but, like, there's building there.
That is kind of weird.
Yeah. I don't know why they did that. Weight limits, John. Obviously, weight limits are implemented to keep your mom from going where she won't fit.
Yes, totally.
But other than that, they're implemented as posted pretty much on roads that can only carry a maximum weight before collapsing. And you see them more often on bridges than roads.
Yeah.
And a lot of times state, and I think there's a couple of federal laws that also have maximum weight limits depending on how many axles you have.
Yeah, we have a lot of those here.
Yeah, I know that there's, it's weird because where I live, it's like you have a gross weight limit. So, like, I guess you can have, these are made up numbers, but you can have like 100 tons of weight in a vehicle, but you can only have like 20 tons per axle.
Do you know what, like, a gross weight or a gross vehicle weight rating on a vehicle is? You know how that works?
You go to a weigh station and weigh your car?
Well, kind of, basically. Okay, so we'll use my bus for example. So the GVWR, or gross vehicle weight rating, on the bus is 29,000 pounds. So it doesn't actually weigh 29,000 pounds, obviously. It weighs like 15,000 pounds right now. But the 29,000 pounds is how much total the bus can weigh, so how much you can load it with. So what is it? Like 9 plus 5, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, whatever. That's how much you can actually add to the bus.
That's interesting.
Without going over the gross vehicle weight rating.
Interesting, yeah. That's kind of cool. I guess you would need that so you don't overload the bus.
Yeah, because you don't want to, like, overload the shocks or whatever.
Yeah. John, do you have any socials you would like to promote before we wrap this thing up?
I do not think so, to be honest.
Oh, you don't exist on the internet, huh?
Well, if you want to come see a Christmas light show, you can come to my house.
Oh.
Yeah.
You gonna reveal your address to the whole internet, John?
No.
Alright, you heard it here, folks. John's house, if you know where it is.
Yeah.
Hit me up, I'll give you the address.
Yes, totally.
Thanks for listening to this one. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts to listen to our other 3 or 4 episodes at this point, I think. We're on Stitcher, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. We're everywhere but Google Podcasts, because Google Podcasts makes you, like, do extra pay stuff. It's kind of dumb.
It sounds very dumb.
Anyways, thanks. And goodbye. That works, right? That was a great outro.
Very, yeah. I was going to say the outro was a little awkward.